What's good? Lingali chona njani mthakazo muhle Zimbabwe muhle what's good mure Zimbabwe tinomkamchira mchongwa chelo chemechi iki uhlelo the connection lelami o Michael Hobe welcome mure Zimbabwe to the connection studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Unfortunately mure Zimbabwe we're not able to give you this program live as per usual due to COVID-19. We're all working from home. Nonetheless, to the final, we are here silapa on our program, The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America, on Tuesday, the 1st of September, 2020. Once again, Muria Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Warbe. Once again, muri Zimbabwe, tinotenda zvikuru sa wonke munhu ongena kuhlelo siyabonga kakhulu ngokungena kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo tinotenda zvikuru sa munhu wese ari kupinda muchongwa chedu chechipiki. Unfortunately, once again, this program is pre-recorded due to COVID-19. Tikushanda tiri kudzimba dzedu. That means we're not able to bring you onto the program live. Say, Jachino Simboita, but we're going to get to my studio. Just today, tiri pano pachirongwa chedu chechipiki. Uhlelo The Connection, Muineni, Michael Hobe. Tonight on The Connection, we continue the conversation on COVID-19, coronavirus. Joining us is going to be Justin Amoyo, a young Zimbabwean based in Canada, as we tackle the rise in COVID cases in Zimbabwe. But we also look to touch on another discussion. We look to focus on alleged human rights violations in Zimbabwe and programs that are being launched by organizations such as ZimRights that target towards educating Zimbabweans and equipping them with tools that look to teach them more about how they can protect their rights and those that are within their communities. Now, lastly, we also look to touch on another thing while still on the same discussion of human rights. We look to celebrate the life of young 34-year-old, a prominent human rights activist, Patson Zamara, who passed away last week due to colon cancer. Now, for those that do not know, Patson Zamara was a human rights activist. He was an author of four books. He was a PhD holder at age 24. He passed away last week due to colon cancer. Gallant son of the soil, he focused on issues that pertain to human rights, justice, peace, and youth empowerment. So we figured let's celebrate the life of our young heroes. What's most important about that we can learn as young Zimbabweans from the life of Patson Zamara? We look to hear more from youths that are going to be joining us. Pano Pachirongwa Chedu Chevechidiki here on The Connection, Studio 7, the Voice of America, with your boy, Michael. But first up, coronavirus, COVID-19. According to Johns Hopkins University, over 25,500,000 people worldwide have contracted COVID-19. Over 851,000 people have died due to COVID-19. And some positivity, over 16,850,000 people have recovered worldwide. Now, according to the most recent tweet issued by the Ministry of Health, and for those that are watching our program, on the screens, as usual, are the statistics. Zimbabwe currently has approximately 6,500 COVID cases, over 200 dead, and over 5,220 recovered. So there's some positivity there. You can see the gap between the recovered cases and the amount of people that are testing positive for COVID-19 is closing up. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health, unfortunately, it does not show the total amount of cumulative tests that have been done to date. Nonetheless, they do highlight how many PCR tests were conducted yesterday. And according to the most recent tweet, they say 836 PCR tests were conducted yesterday. 85 cases tested positive just yesterday alone. 160 people were reported to be recovered, so more recovered than people that tested positive. And 6 people died yesterday due to COVID-19. But now, Muria Zimbabwe, before we head over to Justin Moyo, our young Zimbabwean based in Canada, who's going to be breaking down his experiences due to COVID-19, what's going on in his life. Justin has also some experience with family members losing a life due to COVID-19, so we'll get to hear more of that. Let's head over to the Ministry of Health as usual. The clip that we're about to play is courtesy of the Ministry of Health and Child Care's YouTube page, whereby Dr. Stephen Karim gives us an update on how Makumbi District Hospital is performing with regards to handling COVID-19 cases. Now, for those that do not know, Makumbi Hospital District is within the district that is most affected by COVID-19. When they talk about hotspots, they're up there, behind Harare and Bulawayo being the two major cities that were impacted. Makumbi District is up there. Let's head over to Dr. Stephen Karim of the Ministry of Health to hear more about how this district is being affected and how they're handling COVID-19 cases.
We are one of the hardest hit districts, hotspot in epidemiological English, of COVID-19 outside the two metropolitan districts of Bulawayo and Harare. As you appreciate, we are a very urban district, so the overflow from Harare comes to us. We were taking care of superintending over three quarantine centers: Koromonzi Quarantine Center, Jamaica Inn Isolation Center, Rua Rehab, and now we have Domboshawa Training Center as a quarantine center. So the burden has been upon us. When we started off, we didn't have an isolation center for those who turned positive. We were depending on Wilkins Hospital and Parerenyatwa Hospital. But as the numbers grew, we decided to also have our own isolation center for logistical easiness. So we started off with Jamaica Inn in partnership with the Minister of Women's Affairs. So we're managing that isolation center, and at its peak, we had about 25 COVID-19 positive clients, which we cared for. We then moved after the Minister of Women's Affairs decided to terminate that partnership. We moved the isolation facility to Makumbi Hospital. And as you may be aware, we are a facility that was historically a TB center. So the facilities are there to take care of infectious diseases. So we converted our medical wing into a COVID-19 isolation center, and we have capacity of about 60 to 70 beds. However, in terms of equipment, that's where the gap has been. We don't have oxygen units at every bedside, so we use mobile oxygen units. We also don't have monitoring equipment like pulse oximeters. We also don't have things like oxygen for clients who may need it.
So that was Dr. Stephen Karim of the Ministry of Health breaking down what's happening in Makumbi District Hospital. He highlights how they're handling COVID-19 cases. So now, without further ado, Muriel Zimbabwe, let us head over to our young Zimbabwean based in Canada, Justin Amoyo. I got to speak to Justin over the weekend, whereby we're basically breaking down his experiences with COVID-19. As I mentioned early on, Justin is one young Zimbabwean who's lost family members due to COVID-19. And so he breaks down everything in relation to COVID-19. He also works in one of the industries that are highly affected by COVID-19. For those that do not know, a lot of people lost work due to coronavirus. And so Justin is one of those people who works in the hospitality industry. That's one industry that worldwide, a lot of people closed down with the lockdowns and so forth. And so Justin went for a very long time without employment. So he breaks down his whole ordeal here on The Connection with your boy, Mike Orvin. Let's head over to the interview that I had with Justin Moyer. Justin, welcome to our program. How are you doing, bud?
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you. How are things looking in Canada where you are?
Oh, everything is all right, man. Everything is all right. Things are starting to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, you're a young Zimbabwean who's currently based in Canada. What has your experience been so far, during this COVID times? A lot of people have experienced so many different things. So I'm really curious to hear more about what your challenges have been during this COVID time.
Oh, you know, the challenges that I faced here in Canada during the COVID time. Mm-hmm. Most of the time now, people stay indoors. People don't go outside. We're just at home doing nothing, actually. but we just opened. I'm lucky. I was lucky once that I just got back to work. So things are not really good during this time because we used to socialize. We no longer socialize with our friends, with our family that is here in Canada. So we're also trying to, you know, prevent the virus from spreading. So we're just staying at home, no social life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one thing that a lot of our foreign nationals in other countries have been facing is the issue that a lot of our foreign nationals are used to being at work. That's the only way that they generate funds. And, you know, when it comes to government disbursing funds, at times they prioritize their citizens before foreign nationals. So how have you managed to keep afloat during this COVID time?
Here in Canada, I'm pretty sure we are so lucky because when the government was trying to help its citizens, we were also included there. So we're so lucky. Though the money wasn't enough, but they managed to give us something to pay rent, to survive and all that. But who were, you know, when you're here, like in the foreign land, you're the one who's taking care of our families back home and all that. That we're not able to do because the money that we were getting from the government was only enough to pay for rent and maybe to buy food, yeah, just a few things. So we're not able to fully support our families back home. So that was also another problem that the COVID caused because we're not fully able to support our families back home. But besides that, the government also helped us to get a little bit of money just to pay our bills and everything.
Now, you work in the hospitality industry. That is one of the hardest hit industries by COVID. Are you now adapting in terms of work?
Oh, man, I just went back to work, actually. Like, things are not really good. Mm-hmm. One, first of all, it's very slow. You know the situation, everyone is afraid to be like, oh, man, I can't go outside and all that.
Right.
Like, it's very slow. Mm-hmm. It's very slow. There's no business when it comes to hospitality industry. Like, it is dead. And mm-hmm. the other thing that we're facing, like, they say we must work, we must do social distancing. You can't do social distancing in a hotel. Obviously, you're going to be squatted together. So that's another problem that we face. The virus is easy to spread in an environment like that. Because, like, people are working close to each other. There's no way you can do social distancing in a restaurant while it's working. There's no way you can do social distancing in a hotel. So the hospitality industry is really, really affected. Like, the business is so low. No one is coming right now. And it's going to be winter soon. So I'm pretty sure, like, it's going to be dead. It's going to be dead. Like, it's not good. It's not looking good.
And so how are you adapting to all these changes?
I'm just trying to follow the rules. So that's the other thing that keeps me going. I'm like, oh, I just have to stay safe. I'm just trying to follow the rules. That's all. But it's really hard because I started working a week ago. So I'm still trying to adapt to the new system.
Hmm. Now, Justin, as a young Zimbabwean, when you look at how COVID has impacted Zimbabwe itself as a nation, a lot of young people, a lot of families in general, are currently facing several different issues, ranging from, you know, food shortages through to no access to water. What is your impression of the current experiences that people are going through in Zimbabwe?
Before COVID, I would say this, like, before COVID, the people of Zimbabwe have been going through that phase already. They've been there already before the COVID started hitting the country and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a new thing to the people of Zimbabwe. They know it, they know it already. But things started getting worse as soon as the COVID started because people who are in the foreign land, they're not able to help their families back home. I wasn't able to help my mom, so she also went through that first. But to the people of Zimbabwe, what I can say to them is they can just have hope that everything is all right.
I am a little more curious, though. Some of the rhetoric that's coming out from the nation, it's good that I have you here as a young person who's based in a country that seems to be handling COVID a little better now. We hear, you know, people feeling as though COVID is a very distant matter for them. We hear some people saying, you know, because I've never seen someone die of COVID, I haven't contracted COVID, and so it doesn't exist. You are here talking about the importance of wearing a mask, the importance of all these things, because you've seen the impact of it within your surroundings in Canada. So what would you have to say to these people who feel as though, because COVID is not within their vicinity, it's not existent, and so they, people might just be making a big hullabaloo of something that just isn't affecting them?
You know what? Like, I don't blame those people also, because I was also in one, in that kind of a situation. I was like, oh, I don't know anyone who died because of COVID. But when my uncle was in Britain, also died of it, then I also like started to believe that this thing is so real. And another lady, like here around in my neighborhood, she went to the hospital and she died also because of COVID. You know, COVID is so real. I know, like, most of the people say that, oh, I don't know anyone. Like, I don't know whether it's there or it's just like people are just creating that and all that. Like, no, that COVID is real. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people, like, even young ones like me, like, lucky it doesn't really, like, cope, like, young people. But, right, like, they also get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, it's easy, like for us young people, it's easy for us to carry the virus and infect it to older people. And you know, the vulnerable people, when they're infected with COVID, like their immune system is weak and all that. So it's going to be easy for them to die, actually.
Right.
It's easy for them to die. As we might survive if our immune system is strong, we might survive. But what about your granny? What about your mom? What about your uncle who's having a, like, what if your uncle is having a weaker immune system? He might die because of that. So we must stay safe. COVID is low. I know for young people, a lot of young people are saying, oh, they're just creating this, like, to gain political, whatever, like, they're just creating stories. But what I can tell you, my brother, what I can tell the people of Zimbabwe is COVID-19 is low. They must take it serious. They're not creating this, like, the world won't just go to a lockdown just to create, like, maybe gain some political whatever. No, it's a real thing. That's why we went on a lockdown all over the world. It's real. People must take it serious.
Justin, sisikhangela-ke okwenzakalayo eZimbabwe, siyabona abantu bakhanya bayakhala ngale ndaba ye-COVID. Abontanga labo bayakhala ngoba bahlezi endlini. Abaningi bayasho ukuthi hayi babhekane ngodubo lokuswelakala kokudla njalo amanzi elizweni. Njengosakhulayo yena oseCanada, lapho umkhuhlane lo ukhanya ngani usungcono, ulawo yini amazwi okunikeza abontanga ababhekane ngalolu dubo?
Amazwi engayanikeza abontanga abaseZimbabwe ukubana bayazi ukuthi yibo kumele ukuthi belandele ama-rules o-social distancing, naloko ukuthi bayase bageze izandla zabo. Ama-rules ona layo bayawazi ukuthi benjani, yibo kumele bayalandele. But ma sengikhangela abontanga abaningi abaseZimbabwe, abana they don't care actually about izinto eziningi. Bona as long bephila, sebazinikeza kufana ukuthi as long bephila kuphela, akulandaba. So i-advice engabanikeza yona, yibo kubani ukuthi kumele ukuthi befundise abanye abantu. It's easy ukuthi ukuvikela kumkhuhlane lo we-corona. Abantu begqoke amamaski, abantu begeze izandla, beqhubele imfundiso nale ebantwini abadala, beqhubele imfundiso nale ebantwini abasemakhaya, bezame ukuthi bespread imessage yokuthi i-corona le iyabulala. Ungahamba lana, uyazi ukuthi ungahamba la endaweni eziningi. Unahlala tuzane endaweni okuthiwa yi-Clifton Hill, ne? Yikho la i-tourist attraction area lapho ufikela khona abantu. Ungahamba yathola abontanga begqoke ama-t-shirt amanye abhalwe Crush the Curve, ne? Labo bantu nawuhamba yibo abahunjani, bengabona ungagqokanga imaski, baku-approach-a bekutshele ukuthi hhayi, cela ugqoke imaski, cause ungagqoki imaski yakhona ukuzivikela, so uyakhona ukuvikela. Bayakufundisa isikhathi senso esincane, maybe iminithi, bekutshele ukuthi if ugqoke imaski uvikela lokhu, yenza lokhu nalokhu, ukuthi uyavikela abantu abaningi. Njalo yibo abantu babona nje be-everywhere bezama ufuna, even ma ungenamaski yibo ababuza ukuthi njani useyafuna sikunikeze imaski, vele obvious uzoyithatha nabeku-offer, baye ku-offer imaski. So intanga yaseZimbabwe yawazi maybe ngathi asinamali yokuthi si offer abantu asina mali but just nje ukuthi nje befundise abantu ukuthi hayi if ungagqoka ngemask uyayenzakala so bethatha corona serious ngoba akula muntu ozobatshe ozofundisa omunye if bona bengafuni ukuthi manje bezama uhambisa imessage nale ebantwini abadala kwenza umuntu omdala uyatshela ukuthi ha angikhoni ukuphefumula mina ngale mask yabazi abantu basekhawuti banjani angikhoni ukuphefumula ngalokhu angikhoni ukuyenza lokhu so if abantu abasha kuyibo abanjani abazama ukuspread imessage yokuthi if liyenza so siyakhona ukuthi siqede i-corona ezweni yakhona ukuthi si-prevent ukuthi i-corona ingaqhubekeli siyaphambili yabona yibo kumele bethathe i-responsibility.
Now, Justin, as we wrap up our conversation, Zimbabwean youths are currently going through a lot right now. And some are just feeling as though we've heard sentiments like I'd rather die from COVID than die from hunger. Or, COVID just isn't their biggest concern right now. You just highlighted the importance of it. One thing I'd like you to speak to is the importance of these rules, the social distancing, the wearing a mask and all that, because based on some of the conversations we've had with local residents, health experts and all that, some people in certain areas, especially the high density suburbs in Zimbabwe, just aren't grasping that. So I would like you to speak to the importance of these rules and why they should start looking at that as this might be a life or death situation.
Okay. As I told you, my brother, I live in a hospitality, like a tourist attraction area in Clifton Hill. I'm pretty sure most of the people are aware about Clifton Hill. So here in Clifton Hill, you know who crossed the curb? You know who, people who are working so hard just to prevent the COVID-19 from spreading? It's like the Canadian youth. They're all over the place. They make sure that you have a mask. If you go around the street without wearing a mask, they'll approach you. They'll just take 1 minute of your time telling you how important is wearing a mask. And they'll offer you a mask. When you're entering shops, you offer a sanitizer. You just sanitize your hands and all that. And like it's working. Look at it right now. Like we're starting to move forward. So what I can advise the youth of Zimbabwe is COVID-19 is so real. If us, like the doctors played their part, they told us that we have to wear masks, we have to sanitize, we have to do social distancing. Us as the youth of Zimbabwe, no one is going to, like the old people are not going to do that for us. We're the one who must spread the word, like teach the older people about how important are these rules. Teach them how important it is to wear the mask, teach them how important it is to sanitize your hands and all that. If us, the youth, don't do that, if us, the youth, won't spread the message, who's going to do that for us?
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Justin Moyo, young Zimbabwean based in Canada. Zimbabwe, Canada, Justin Moyo, COVID, iripo, and abantu. Take it very, very seriously. Mushansa sipo, anzipekai ma mask, anzipamuno budapo, msasangani ni wandu we nyu. That was young Justin Moyo. Now, for those that are wondering, what are the numbers in Canada in terms of how many people have tested positive for COVID-19? As we speak, according to the Canadian government, 128,948 people tested positive for COVID-19 as of the 31st of August. So that was yesterday. They have not released the latest figures. Asi, Zimbabwe, to go over the numbers one more time. For those that are watching it on the screen, of course, the data is on the screen one more time. So for those that are tuning in via radio, I urge you to come to our stream soon after the radio show. Pama page, pa Facebook on VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. As we speak, 6,497 people have tested positive for COVID-19. 85 people tested positive for COVID-19. Just yesterday alone, the total amount of people that have recovered, 5,221. 160 recovered yesterday alone. Active cases to date. So of those 6,497, we have 1,074 people who are actively still affected by coronavirus. Now, for the amount of deaths, we are currently at 202. And just yesterday alone, we had 6 people die due to COVID-19. Saka ndiyo nyetu kubata pano kwa chirongwa chile chile chiki mchakazo mwote hilo lutave silalo na mcha kuhlelo lwetu na basakulayo. Besi kota lo sakulayo umnumzana u Justin Moyo. Osakulayo yena opila nale e Canada. Opila imasweni woto uka u Justin ya kutaza pela incha elizweni uta hai bafetu. Yena he's personally been affected by umkuhlane we COVID. So ulalulwazi oluthile ngempela ukuthi i COVID ikhona. Uyasho ngempela u Justin ukuthi bafethu mali phuma lingaminyana. Bafethu mali phuma gezani izandla. Bafethu mali phuma gqoka nama mask. Bafethu mali phuma social distancing kuyinto eqhakathekileyo ngempela. Makathi retro kwethu chebethi ikim tsala somuhle muri eZimbabwe. Chirongwa The Connection, mwineni, Michael Hove.
Zikipa ndapo eka manguma wiza, amekwa edo artist, aka Mr. Nkulumis kiwa ngeveneki. Guys, COVID-19, abaibiza nge corona, inte kona. Pambili nge social distancing, askeze nizanja, always stay safe, stay home. Last number.
Easy,
majita,
Easy, Majita, easy. Ingoma, Egama, Wiza on the beat there. Young musician from going to Tuzia Tunga, like, Uyakutaza Pela Uzulu, Uti, hi, Ningakofi. COVID-19 is real. COVID-19 is there. 2019 is the number to dial if you're looking to learn more information about COVID-19. If you suspect that you have COVID-19 in Zimbabwe and you feel like you're showing are symptoms of COVID-19. That's the number to call to find out more information. Now, early on, I touched on the fact that we're also going to be delving into another issue, which pertains to human rights. But before we head over to the conversation I had with Tsikamai Bere about a campaign that they're launching, I want to take this moment to celebrate the life of a young son of the soil, Pato Nzamara, 34-year-old human rights activist, author, PhD holder, who passed away last week due to colon cancer. Now, the works of Pato Nzamara touched people across political divides, MDCs, and the PF, APA, whatever political party you came from. Pato always interacted with people. Pato, a lot of people spoke well. Now, let's just check out a couple of condolence messages to show the impact that Pato had on the lives of young people, the lives of celebrity, the lives of Zimbabweans. The first one we have was Tafadzwa Mgwadi. Earlier on, I touched on the fact that Pato interacted with people across the political divide. But when he found out that Pato passed away 5 days ago, Tafadzwa Mgwadi took to Facebook and he wrote, "I learned with shock the passing of one prominent opposition activist, Pastor Mr. Pato Nzamara. It is painful to have lost him to cancer at a time when the world is battling another vicious pandemic. Our prayers are with his family in this difficult time. May his soul rest in peace." So that was Tafadzwa Mgwadi showing, of course, how Pato interacted with people across the political divide. Another one is Alec Macheso. Anziwe kwa Zamara akashaya mkana. Asi, waida kurarama akatuwa nenguwa uyo. Really gutted by the sad passing of a brother, a very passionate music lover and orchestra fan. On this day, he had pushed that they meet. And now, for those, once again, it is advisable that you come to our Facebook page so you see. There's a picture there of Alec Macheso standing next to Pato Nzamara at the Red Cross, and they were meeting to discuss issues pertaining to Red Cross. Alec Macheso, akanyora kapa Facebook, and go well, Pato Nzamara, aiwa, and simoni chengete ranjimbo, patoshika kutenga, sinosangana kutenga. So those are some of the messages of people that prominent people that wrote on Facebook, reference to the life of the son of the soil, Pato Nzamara. Let's head over to some of the people who have spoken really well. I got in contact with the director of Zim Rights, Tsikamai Bere, who talks more about the life of Pato Nzamara.
We have worked with Pato, I think, on a number of projects in my current life at Zim Rights, and also in my previous work in the NGO Forum. I think Pato represents what we call a champion for human rights. He exhibited courage, I say this with a lot of emotion because I speak to young people all the time about leadership. And I have always said there are many qualities of leadership, whether it's communications, team building, you name them. But there is one quality that I think is more important than anything else, and it is courage. Because it is courage that allows you as a young person to step forward and lead. And when you have the courage to step forward and lead, courage becomes the door that you use to bring all the wealth of the other skills and talents that you have as a young person. If you don't have the courage to lead, there are many good talents which will die unnoticed. And Patson evinced courage beyond imagination. He wrote to say he was forced to fight, that he was not an activist, but when his brother disappeared, for him, human rights became personal. And this is a very important lesson for young people and for everyone. For a very long period of time, human rights in this country have been championed by NGOs. Patson teaches us that human rights are personal. And unless we treat human rights as a personal agenda, there will never be enough of us to form what we call a critical mass.
Looking at the things that he wanted from life, the things he wanted for Zimbabwe, do you think that's something that we can accomplish as a nation?
Yes. I believe this is something that we are going to accomplish, as Patson always said, in our lifetime. And that means in this generation. Mm-hmm. The demands of our country are so urgent, they can't be postponed to tomorrow. And when you look at the actions that Patson undertook, I mean, you just need to look at the pictures of Patson in action. Then you understand the urgency of the matter. At one time, during independence celebrations, he stood up, I mean, before the full armor of the state, he stood up with a poster that was written, independent but not free. For me, I think that's the audacity of leadership. It shows that you better stand for what you believe. And he highlighted the issues that his brother had been highlighting. And while almost everyone believed with Itai Dzamara that Mugabe was a liability, they disappeared him for that, only to perpetrate a military coup to effect the removal of Mugabe, the same issue that Itai had been calling for. So when you see, and I now put on my analyst's hat, when you see the direction where our country is going and the state of affairs where we currently are, in the language of my former teacher, Johan Galtung, we would say the contradictions have reached their limits. Mm-hmm. It means we get into a tipping point. Where everyone agrees that the status quo cannot survive. It's undesirable. Mm-hmm. And we need to come together. And this was the message of Patson. His approach to that was nonviolent. He was a man of peace. And I was particularly touched by the number of people who Patson would speak to. He would speak to, you know, people who belonged to political parties that you would think that these people were probably associated with the disappearance of his brother. But Patson would reach out to those people and speak to them. And he spoke truth to power. He was very close to the people in the opposition in the MDC. But Patson was the first one who said to Morgan Tsvangirai, "Oh, you need to step down and let Nelson Chamisa take over." These are his colleagues, and he was speaking openly to them. So that capacity to be able to engage in a merit-based conversation without violence is something that many young people need to learn.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Tsikama Ibere. He's the director of Zim Rights, one of the oldest grassroots human rights organizations in Zimbabwe. Now, just for those once again watching on the screen, there is that moment that Tsikama was referring to, where Patson Zamara took to Senta Senga National Sports Stadium, and he held a placard up written "Independent but not free. Where is my brother Itai Zamara?" Everybody knows Patson very well for his hard work in terms of fighting for human rights, in terms of finding out what happened to his brother Itai Zamara. Then let's head over to another clip that actually shows people that got to speak to Patson Zamara at the National Sports Stadium. The footage you're about to watch is a very, very short clip. For the full clip, you can go to Bus Stop TV. It's on their Facebook page. We only extracted a couple of seconds just to show you what Patson was doing at National Sports Stadium, this very, very iconic moment that everybody keeps referring to. Let's head over to that clip.
We are celebrating 36 years since the attainment of independence. But it's quite unfortunate that even though we've attained independence, we're not free in Zimbabwe.
Even though we have attained independence, we are free, but not free. You are seeing there Patson Zamara, young Patson Zamara, 34-year-old, a PhD holder. He has authored 4 different books. We have young people on the program speaking really well of Patson Zamara. Let's head over to another clip. I asked a couple of people that have had the pleasure of meeting Patson Zamara to send us a couple of tips talking about their experiences with Patson Zamara. So let's head over to another individual, Evans Zininga. I'm sure some of you know Evans Zininga from the work he used to do here. Evans is still in Washington, D.C. He's had the pleasure of meeting and interacting with Patson Zamara. Let's hear more from Evans.
That was Patson Zamara on the vocals, ladies and gentlemen. You'd never believe this man had so many talents, died so young. We are so saddened. May his soul rest in peace. My name is Evan Simbarashe Zininga. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I greet you all today with such sadness in my heart at the sad loss of Patson Zamara. Patson would have been a happier man if he had found out what happened to his brother Itai. Itai and me go way back. We were friends for a very long time, did projects together, even started a newspaper at some point. It was called The News Leader, produced and published in South Africa, distributed in Zimbabwe. This is how I got to meet Patson, and he automatically just fit into the shoes of a brother to me. Patson had 2 PhDs at 24 years old. A rare thing. He was just one of his own kind. He was a great business coach. He was a great business leader. He was a great motivational speaker. We did a lot of projects together. We even sat on the same board at some point at the Off the Hook group with a number of other phenomenal people in the country, like Chomi Makina, you know, the great business and entrepreneur in Harare today. It was such a pleasure to live and love and work with Patson. He taught me a lot of things, even though I was an older brother to him. We did cross-country conferences, trying to preach the new vibe, the new world order of saying the youth need to lead today, not tomorrow. He believed in the now and not the future. But unfortunately, he won't be part of this future. However, I feel so honored today to say these few words about him, his life, and what he achieved while we lived on this earth.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Evans Zininga, a another Zimbabwean who's had the pleasure of working alongside Patson Zamara, speaking well of Patson. But whilst on the same discussion, a lot of people also know Patson for his work of fighting for his, you know, for governments to tell Zimbabweans, including the Zamara family, where his brother Itai Zamara is. So let's head over to another clip of Patson Zamara, where he's talking about the issue of abductions and human rights, and of course, finding out where Itai Zamara is.
And we have never missed our words as far as that is concerned. They took Itai Zamara. And we are saying that has got to stop. Not only must it stop, they must account for Itai Zamara. The price for what they did must be escalated so that next time they know what our bate muno, achimpunyi kids, that says, oh, I can't talk about Itai Zamara, isn't it?
You're hearing there from the gallant son of a soil, Patson Zamara. Aiwa, angachi wirazo chokwadi, kodzero dzevanhu, achi, udzaoka hurumende kuti aiwa chudze kuti a Itai Zamara aripi. He also highlights another thing, which is also showcased in the tweet above, is that when he was fighting for Itai Zamara, it wasn't just about Itai Zamara, but Itai Zamara was a symbol. He was calling for the respect of human rights, for the an end of abductions. He was calling to ensure that government starts respecting the rights of human rights. So this is one of his tweets, that he had most recent tweets, where he was discussing with a follower, where he says, Itai's disappearance is my main burden. It's a broad issue which transcends Itai. He is a symbol. There he's holding his placard that's written, independent but not free, where is my brother Itai? So the question is, what do we stand to learn as young Zimbabweans when we look at the life of Patson Zamara, 34-year-old, young, accomplished author? He's written 4 books. He has PhD. He's a PhD holder, 34 years old. He's very young. He's still a youth. When we look at his life, Njengaba Sakulayo, as the youth of Zimbabwe, what do we stand to learn? Now, Patson also worked worked with women. And so I decided, let me reach out to Stabile Gewa, another young Zimbabwean that has had the opportunity of working with Patson Zamara, who tells us more about what we as youth stand to learn when we look at the life of Patson Zamara.
I met Patson in 2016 when the social movements started and gained ground in Zimbabwe. He appeared to me as someone who was resilient, someone who was very confident, someone who was very passionate and patriotic, someone who was very brave, because from all the initiatives that were done there, he was always at the forefront, and he was someone who had depth, who would raise very critical national issues pertaining to the crisis that we are currently facing in Zimbabwe. Then we worked together in 2018 under a project titled Generational Consensus, where we were mobilizing the youth vote. And I'm proud to say that we did a lot of work with his guidance across the country in all the 10 provinces. And as you can see, we also contributed to the high number of youth voter turnout in the 2018 elections. But what really struck me most on Patson was his unrelenting fight for justice, for accountability on the disappearance of his brother Itai Zamara. If it wasn't for Patson, we would all have forgotten about Itai Zamara. But he was very aggressive, calling for justice and for the truth as to what really transpired to his brother. And what I always recall and comes to the picture is when he confronted the president at the National Sports Stadium calling for justice. It's something that I have not seen anyone doing since time immemorial. And after that, he was heavily brutalized, but that didn't stop him from continuing to call for accountability and justice as to what really happened to his brother, who has disappeared. I think now it's more than 3 years.
When we look at his life, as young Zimbabweans, what do you think we stand to learn?
Patson believed in the tenets of good governance, rule of law, and democracy. What we learn more from his life was we need to be proactive, we need to have agency, we need to have voice because most of the youth these days, there's lack of agency in the work that we are doing. There's lack of agency in answering the national question of the day. And because of the brutality that comes and the harassment and intimidation that comes after speaking out, most of the people then choose not to speak out. But Patson is someone who redefined activism, that you don't necessarily have to be in a political party for you to be active. Most of his work he did when he was not attached to any political party. I think he recently joined MDC. I think it was last year. But all his activism, he did it as an individual, as a patriotic Zimbabwean who wanted to see change for himself, for his family, for his friends, and the generality of Zimbabweans. And I learned that we need to come out of our comfort zone if we really want to add value. And what was really humbling with the life that Patson lived on this earth was that he wasn't just mourned in Zimbabwe only, but even across the borders. So I saw the value of networking. You could even see musicians celebrating his life. You could even see people in the business sector celebrating his life. So he's someone who didn't believe in boundaries. He's someone who believed that we are one people and we believe in one agenda, so we should work together. So this is something that I feel is youth, we really need to take forward and finish the race that Patson started of demanding accountability, good governance, democracy, and the respect of rule of law. And that even if you are victimized, you shouldn't backtrack. You need to continue focusing on your agenda.
Tinozwavanhu vakafanana nemutungamiriri webato reMDC Alliance vaNelson Chamisa vachiti hanzi vadzama ravaida angari munhu aikurudzira runyararo. Takambokurukurawo nevamwewo vakawana nemukana wekushanda naye vakati vadzama aive munhu aikurudzira iyo yatinoti nechirungu political tolerance. Sevechidiki veZimbabwe tichitarisa nhoroondo yakafambwa navadzamara, zvii zvatingadzidza, zvii zvakakosha zviripo?
Chinhu chatakadzidza zvikuru kuna vadzamara ndechekuti haufani kushamwaridzana nevanhu vaune mafungiro navo. Bhosi, kana muchida kupromota change, unofanira kutoengeja even vanhu vamusingawirirana navo, even palevel yeideology. Mukatarisa Patson haana kungochemwa nemaZimbabweans chete, akachemwa even outside of maborders eZimbabwe. And Patson anga asingangowirirane nevanhu vekupati kwake chete, maitoona aitowirirana nevanhu even vekuZANU PF achitoshamwaridzana navo. So even kana muchida kupusha, because machallenges atiri kufesa, matambudziko atiri kufesa as maZimbabweans, haasi kungoataka munhu nekuti uri weMDC chete kana kuti uri weZANU PF, kana kuti ari kuti affecta tese, whether unobva kupolitical party ipi. Saka chandingadzidza from him kuti ngatibatanei tese, whether uri weparty ipi, tiite muono pamwe chete kuti topedza sei corruption muZimbabwe, topedza sei state security brutality, kuti vanhu vanorohwa vachisungwa, vakadzi vachirepwa nokuti vari kungodhimanda kugara zvakanaka, vari kungodawo kudya zvakanaka, vari kungodawo kuti corruption ipere neudzvanyiriri. So chandingadzidza kuna Patson ndechekuti ngatibatane tese across the political divide, tishande pamwe chete tichiwirirana semaZimbabweans, semayoung Zimbabweans, nekuti upenyu hwemuZimbabwe ndewedu isusu vechidiki, even ramangwana nderedu isusu.
Now, you just highlighted the type of Zimbabwe that Patson Zamora wanted, one with youth empowerment, one with a good economy, one with the respect to human rights. What would it take for Zimbabwe to get to that stage and point?
I think we need to overcome the fear. We need to overcome the intimidation. And we need to work as a collective. Because Patson was a part of various initiatives that were starting. Even if he was not part of it, but you find him at the forefront of whatever initiative that has to do with calling for justice, accountability, end to corruption, end to issues of dictatorship. So what I would urge Zimbabweans, we need to work together, and issues of solidarity are key. We need to bring all our ideas together and forego our personal interests, because wherever there are initiatives, especially that are spearheaded by youth, there are issues of abuse of resources, if you get resources. There are also fighting for power. But let's overlook all that and work as one. Because as long as we do not come together and fight from one angle, we will not be able to succeed.
All right. Thank you there to our Stabile Dewa for joining us. Panel Patron, here on The Connection with your boy, Michael Bay. Now, the life of Patson Zamara, that's where the focus is at right now. Human rights and the life of our Patson Zamara. You heard Stabile Dewa highlighting what we as young people stand to learn when we look at the life of Patson Zamara. But now, the life of Patson Zamara and Itai Zamara has inspired some organizations towards helping Zimbabweans learn more about human rights and equipping them with tools that will allow them to understand how they can go about fighting for their human rights without having to resort, for example, to the works of NGOs. So I speak to Tsikamai Bere of Zim Rights about a campaign that they are launching, which was inspired by the life of the Zamara brothers, called the Be the Champion for Rights campaign. So let's head over to Tsikamai Bere as we wrap up our conversation to hear more about this campaign and how young Zimbabweans can be involved and how young Zimbabweans can be the champion for rights.
So this is a campaign that we are working on at Zim Rights. And it is focused mainly, you know, at rebuilding Zimbabwe's infrastructure for community organizing and what we call solution-oriented activism. Mm-hmm. And so that's the campaign.
So now, when we hear the whole discussion around activism in Zimbabwe and human rights, we hear a lot of human rights activists, a lot of human rights organizations, yours included, highlighting that there's human rights violations in Zimbabwe. How is this campaign targeted towards helping or fixing that situation?
Yeah, so partly, just to give you a background to this campaign. Mm-hmm. This campaign comes in the backdrop of what I think is a very vibrant civil society movement in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And I think over the past two or so decades, many human rights organizations have emerged. Mm-hmm. Zim Rights, as you probably know, is Zimbabwe's first post-independence indigenous human rights organization. Mm-hmm. Bringing together over 250,000 individuals, people who want to contribute to advancing human rights.
Right.
So since 1992, when Zim Rights emerged as the first indigenous human rights movement, many other organizations have then come up. As a result, we have had what we think is a brilliant crop of human rights organizations. I mean, if you need a lawyer, you can ensure that NGOs will be there to support you. If you need counseling, they'll be there to support you. In terms of international advocacy, we are there. We produce very excellent reports. Mm-hmm. But what we think as Zim Rights has been missing is what we call community organizing, mm-hmm. which the grassroots approach to human rights advocacy. So we have then designed this campaign to respond to that gap. And it has got three objectives, so to say. The first one is to increase human rights consciousness within communities beyond mere awareness, but to solution seeking. Mm-hmm. So many people know about human rights violations, but not many are inspired to take action. So there is one thing to know about human rights issues, but it's another to take action.
Right.
Many people think that action should come from NGOs. So if you spend time on Twitter, you will hear, what are you NGOs doing? And things like that. So the focus is for us to be able to build consciousness at a very personal level for ordinary people to know that when it comes to human rights, it's a very personal issue, and we need to take action. So that's the first and most important thing. And the second thing is to activate, you know, what we call grassroots communities and equip them with effective tools for human rights action, which includes, which we call in this campaign, championship. So we're saying it's not enough for us to demand action from individuals and from communities, but we need, as Zimbabwe's grassroots, biggest grassroots movement, be able to provide them the tools which they need to be able to do that. For example, if people want to be able to challenge a particular administrative action without them needing a lawyer, without them needing someone to drive from Arako, from Blawayo, from the nearest city to come and help them, what tools are there to help them doing that? And then finally, we are also looking mainly at young people. Mm-hmm. This is the digital activism branch of this campaign. Mm-hmm. We want young people to be more involved in human rights. We want them to be involved in activism. And activism should not only be seen as civil and political rights, mm-hmm. but it would also come from the economic front. So by saying be the champion, we are saying you are the champion that the community has been waiting for. Of course, civil society organizations are doing a lot in terms of international advocacy, providing victim support. But in terms of real transformation, you can't expect it to come from a few NGOs. Mm-hmm. The real transformation, you know, comes from the communities themselves. If they're able to organize, if they're able to get the support that they need and they're ready to take initiative, we should be to see traction when it comes to human rights in Zimbabwe.
Mabata nyaye vechidiki ndiyo nyaya ndodongyatsonzisisa yanyatsondinakidza hangu nemusemunhu wechidiki. Tinonzwa vamwe vanhu vachiti hanzi muri kungoita noise padandemutande asi hamusi kukurudzira vanhu kuti vanyatsopindawo paground, pave nechange paground. Chirongwa ichi chichange chichivabatsira sei kuti ava vanorwira kodzero padandemutande vachitaurawo maondero avo pamusoro pezviri kuitika munharaunda dzavo padandemutande pave nechange inoizoitika paground?
Isu hatisi vamwe veavo vanofunga kuti vanhu vari kuita zveactivism vari padandemutande vari kurasa nguva, kwete. Isu tinofunga kuti dandemutande rinototipa mukana wekuti tinge tichitaura nevanhu vakawanda. Padandemutande tinotokwanisa kuumba community yakakura kudarika maonero edu nemaziso. Padandemutande tinokwanisa zvekare kubatana nezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe izvo zvisagare muno muZimbabwe zvakafanana nemukoma Mike, kuti vange vachikwanisawo kudi kuti pfungwa dzavo dziiswe mupoto yekuumba Zimbabwe yakanaka. Saka tine nzira dzakawanda. Muchaona kuti paZim Rights Live chimwe chemaresources atiri kuisa paZim Rights ndomukana uya wekuti kana munhu achida kutaura nemumiririri wake, MP wake kana councillor wake, vanongokwanisa kungoenda padandemutande ipapo, vanotowana zita remp wavo, adresi kana iri phone number kana iri email, votoshandisa matools atakaisa ipapo kuti vange vachitaura naMP wavo. Hakusi kutamba, harisi dambe iri. Munorangarira kuti kunyange nyaya dzeuori idzi makomishen mazhinji vakatobuditsawo namba dzavo dzedandemutande dzimwe nhare kuti kana muchinge masangana neuori shandisai matools aya kuti munge muchitiudza. Ndo mamwe emabasa eactivism anokwanisika kuitika nedandemutande.
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Tsikamai Bere of Zim Rights. Aiwa, vanga chinyatsotsanangura kazvizere pamusoro pezvechirongwa chavo. Ngempela, babe Tsikamai Bere, wenhlanganiso Zim Rights, ubechasisa okunengi mayelana ngohlelo lwabo be the champion for rights campaign. For those looking to learn more information, check out Zim Rights on their Facebook page. Hashtag be the champion for rights campaign. So for those that are also looking to text them on WhatsApp, you can text them on +263 714 724 133. Zim Rights, be the champion for rights campaign. Aiwa, muri Zimbabwe tashika kumagumo echirongwa chedu chanhasi sesvikire emapetseleni ohlelo lwetu lwavasakulayo. We have come to an end of our program, Pano Pachonga Chabichabichabiki, here on The Connection. Thank you to everybody who tuned in to The Connection. Tonight on The Connection, we're focusing on COVID updates. And we also touched on the life of a 34-year-old Patson Zamara, who passed away last week due to colon cancer. May his soul rest in peace. Kune Muriaba Zamara Aiwa, Tinotenda Zukurusa, for sharing this young individual with us, Sibichabiki with Zimbabwe. Time has come to an end, Muria Zimbabwe. Let's meet, same time, same place. I go by the name of Mike Hove. Muria Zimbabwe. Bye-bye!